we present the news quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome to the news quiz. We start with a cutting from the Daily Telegraph, read by Catriona Young.
Bruce Clark went to school outside Killarney before going to Cambridge to study medicine. He says, "When I left, my parents told the postman I'd gone up to Jesus. The entire village had a whip round for flowers and embarked on a wake, which was well into its third day before Father had the heart to tell them."
Thank you, Mrs. Elaine Klein of King's Somborne in Hampshire, for sending us that. But now let's meet the teams. Will you please welcome first, on my right, Richard Ingrams, and with him, Francis Ween. Facing them on my left, Clive Anderson, and with him, please welcome, Germaine Greer. Before we start round one, here's a headline seen on a local newspaper advertising stand.
Princess Royal in Bath. Pictures.
Thank you to Andrew Cromwell from Bath for sending us that. Richard, as usual, the first question is for you. Where did one man score one victory?
It's all to do with the Labour Party's dark night of the soul, whatever they call it. They decided to have a bit of democracy for a change.
Can he say that?
We provide balance at the end of
the
programme.
Oh, I see, yes, good.
I'll make rude remarks about the Tories later on.
Oh, good.
To balance. I thought one man, one vote was just summarised their recent results in by-elections.
Well, that's the balance for the evening.
One member, one vote was just another way of saying one man, one vote.
Yes.
Because it was one member.
It depends which member you're thinking about, Germaine, really.
Well, they don't say five members, one vote, or four members, one. I've got four. How many have you got?
Hang on, we'll count them together later.
No members, no votes.
I prefer this to the news quiz.
Most people do.
How right you are. This is about block votes and the great success enjoyed by the Labour leader. Well, there's a couple of expressions you don't often hear in the same breath. After Mr. Smith's first victory of the week in getting a Brighton hotel to take a booking from him and his wife... the leader delivered a rousing stand-up act just like a professional comedian, which must have made a nice change from listening to all the amateur ones. Francis, where does it take six people to change a light bulb?
In hospital.
That's right.
This is the Audit Commission report on an unnamed hospital, I think, suggesting that it took six people to change a light bulb, that one to order it. And it's what you might call producer choice, a very fashionable system, whereby you had to fill in lots of forms and dockets and things and buy the light bulb back from yourself. And a lot of public institutions are now adopting this system, I believe.
It is the news that it takes six people 17 admin stages to change a hospital light bulb. This was according to a 50-page Audit Commission report prepared by 180 of their investigators. Junior doctors said they hadn't had time to read the report as they were all far too busy changing light bulbs. Germaine, how nice to have you on the programme. Whose bubble burst on terra firma? Is your question?
Oh, Bio 2, which is not something you feed your plants on, and it's not something that people next to you on the bus suffer from. It was a closed system it was actually in Arizona, at a place called Oracle, which I rather like, and it contained four men of assorted ages and four women likewise, and they recycled all their own waste and all their own water, the water they ended up with after 2 years. They were in this bubble for 2 years.
I don't mean they recycled their own water.
I mean exactly as I say. I guess they boiled it off. You did all that at school. And they must have been drinking it for 2 years.
I drink Thames water. It's much the same. So.
Quite. Anyway, the thing is that they were finally allowed out of their bubble, and all they've said is that they're not going to say what happened to the relationships between this firmly heterosexual octet. What they mean is they will, but they're going to need a lot of money before they...
I think they've done it absolutely perfectly there. These are the eight Terranauts who emerged into the Arizona desert after 2 years of living in a giant greenhouse. Their re-entry was delayed as Clay Jones thoroughly checked each one for signs of leaf mould or a green card. The aim was to show how a colony might survive completely isolated from civilization, an aim shared by a crew member from Ilford, who had something of a head start coming from Essex. However, critics claim the doors opened 28 times. Well, how else were they supposed to play the milkman? Clive, will you listen to this? Well, that was Whiskey in the Jar by Thin Lizzy. And your question is, Clive, who's a shadow of his former self after his defence had a fine time, by George? There's a rich
sentiment. Who's a shadow of his former self?
After his defence. He's about a drunk.
Are we talking about Fuchs?
Or Fouts, as we like to call him.
Oh, sorry.
I don't mind.
I met him after dark, so it's... Now, he's somebody who used to be big in the shadow cabinet, and he went to a reception of the Scottish Whiskey Producers Association and had one over the 20 and was rushing back for a three-line whip, or six-line whip, as he thought it was. And they finally got him because he hit a policeman, but along the way he was dancing with old-age pensioners in the street, and a fine old time, and... I don't know what he was. He was Shadow Minister of Transport or something. And he had to resign.
He was Shadow Minister of Defence. Yes. He was in charge of Labour's non-nuclear pacifist defence policy.
Well, hitting a policeman has always been Labour Party policy. So I think he was okay on that one.
This is George Fouts, Labour MP and part-time consultant to the Scotch whisky industry, who was fined £1,000 plus costs after getting consulted as a newt. Mr. Fouts' family motto, a for ego, base over apex. He resigned as shadow defence spokesman before pleading guilty to getting drunk and assaulting a police officer. His shadow defence lawyer, Mr. Duncan Disorderly, explained the behaviour was because Mr. Fouts doesn't drink whiskey. Mind you, that 15-year-old Mort Perrier does not pack a punch. And the scores at the end of the first round are, irrespective of any change of cast, the scores remain the same. For all. We start round two with an item from the Fulham and Chiswick Guardian.
A Hammersmith man fled from bouncers in a dramatic rooftop chase last week. Security staff from the Palais nightclub chased him onto the roof after a 2 a.m. fracas, but were helpless as he leapt onto adjoining buildings to make his daring getaway. Moments later, he dropped through a skylight, only to find himself in the custody suite of Hammersmith Police Station and was arrested and charged with assault.
Well, thank you to M. Thurloway from Hammersmith for sending us that. Richard, why is Tail End Charlie now Tail End Johnny?
This is a very interesting question.
I'm sure the answer will be just as interesting as the question.
Very glad you asked it, Barry.
Well, I'm delighted that you're pleased.
Yes.
Note with interest that Francis Ween is left-handed.
Well, I've just been in contact with Doris Stokes.
Yes, I thought you looked rather dishevelled, however. Yes.
And it has been discovered that since Mr. Major came to power, the name John is no longer as popular as it was. And the most popular name is Mrs. Bottom, I think.
I name this boy Mrs. Bottomley. Oh, this is the news that after being tops for centuries, John has dropped to the 40th most popular boy's name. Its decline has been attributed to the lack of popularity of certain political leaders of that name, which also explains the recent non-appearance in the Times birth section of Adolf, Saddam and Deng Xiaoping. Bottomley. Francis, who wielded the axe and watched the overheads roll?
I haven't the faintest idea. Doris Stokes is still there. Don't watch the overhead throw.
This is a royal story. It's a dull royal story.
Oh, it's the Queen. Yes. She's some cut-out perks. The Queen has cut-out perks for her staff at Buckingham Palace. She's followed the lead of Kenneth Clark, who says that no one in the public service can have a pay rise unless they can increase their productivity. And she's now introduced performance-related pay and cut out all the free soap and free suits and things. And instead, they're going to have to curtsy and bow and scrape a lot more if they're going to get their Christmas bonus.
Free soap.
Right, absolutely so. And it's Her Majesty the Queen, you know, the married one, who is making...
You are incorrigible.
The Queen, who is making drastic cuts in the traditional perks enjoyed by her palace staff, royal servants of Buckingham Palace are set to lose their annual soap ration, a move which, though unpopular, should at least deter intruders during the summer months. However, servants will be allowed to drink any booze left after royal functions, an announcement which brought howls of protest from Princess Margaret's staff. On that cheery note, I say, Germaine, listen to this. Well, that was a well-known overture by Tchaikovsky, and your question is, Germaine, who fell foul of a stage fright?
I'm in touch with Doris. Just hang on a second. It's something to do with that was the 1812 famous overture.
No.
Oh, sorry, yes, I beg your pardon. It was Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
So who fell?
Juliet
fell out of her balcony.
That's right.
Well,
how amazing
of you
to get that.
I didn't know that. It's not in the play.
It's actually actress Jane Slavin who got so carried away with the part of Juliet that she fell off the balcony onto the stage. There she remained motionless for a few seconds before the prompter shouted, "Ah!" It all happened at the Grand Theatre Swansea during Michael Bogdanoff's new production of Shakespeare's classic tale of the Montagues, Capulets and the 3rd Battalion of the Parachute Regiment. Clive, who wants to wear the trousers to ward off trouble?
No, I did see this story, but it's one of those stories you don't really take in. Nurses are complaining, or somebody's complaining on behalf of nurses, that they have a sort of carry-on image, and everybody sees a nurse in a nurse's outfit, and they think, oh, she must be Babs Windsor out of Carry-On, Up the Doctor or something, and they get interfered with and chatted up and slapped and tickled, and that's just from the children's ward. So they think that if they wore trousers, they wouldn't get that. I think I've got the broad brush of that, haven't I?
Yes, indeed, you haven't got it. You've got your points as well. It all stems from a dislike of the traditional uniforms by nurses. 70% of nurses surveyed said that the old uniform prompted the predictable sexist reactions from male patients. But then, if the pretty little things will go around dressed like that, what do they expect? Female staff also complained that black stockings and starched skirts are impractical for work, whereas the male ones said they were ideal for leisure wear. Scores at the end of the second round are still tied, 7-7. We start round three with an item from the For Sale column of Wheelspin, a motor magazine.
K. Reg Camper, white in colour. No MOT or tax. Death forces sale. Body underneath needs attention.
Thank you, Mrs. Eunice Cooper of Lower Basildon in Berkshire, for sending us that. Richard, it's your turn again. Who went to the wall after a night at the pub?
Oh, yes. This is very obscure. You'll be amazed that I know this.
Yes. Looks amazed.
There was a pub keeper somewhere up north who had the men in, sort of doing up his pub, and he discovered this mural underneath the wallpaper. And it was the work of a very bad artist called Sir Alfred Munnings. He used to paint racehorses in his spare time and is very highly prized. Is that right?
Brilliant, brilliantly yes, answered. Right. You are really a winner tonight. Yes. That's wonderful. Yes. Absolutely. It is a mural by Sir Alfred Munnings, which has been discovered on the bar wall of the Fleece in Cumbria. The find comes in the same week as the discovery of a similar work by Scottish painter George Fowkes. Best known as Parliament's most complete artist. Francis, please listen to this. That was Radio Gaga by Queen. And your question is, Francis, why will you, for one, no longer find fluff on your wireless set.
Yes, this is poor old Fluff Freeman. They've had a clear out of oldies at Radio 1. This new man who has taken over Radio 1 decided people don't want oldies in pop music. So Alan Freeman's gone, Simon Bates has gone, Whispering Bob Harris has gone. And they've had a lot of exciting new young DJs, like John Peel, who's only 54.
This is the groovy sound of Radio 1, which had a clear out of many of the older presenters. The redundant DJs are easily spotted. They're the ones in the Dole office talking over the pipe music. A lot of old favourites have gone, including Fluff Freeman, Simon Bates, and also DLT, whose glittering career peaked when he came second in a Name That Sandwich competition. Who's more likely to be floored by flaws in his lifestyle? It's about chaps being fat and lazy and obese and that type of thing.
Yes.
Well, that's everybody, isn't it? Any obese person is likely to be flawed.
Fat. Men die quicker than women?
Yes.
Especially fat men with short necks.
Don't look at Clive like that.
But I can't imagine which particular man. Is there a particular...
No. It's all men. It's a survey. It's one of these surveys that we get on this programme quite a lot.
So you won't know about this, because it's about the very raw deal that men get in out of life.
Go ahead, Richard, you're on a roll. Yeah. Let me put you all out of your misery. This is the Department of Health report that revealed that men drink and eat too much compared to women who also take more exercise. Presumably, women don't have time to sit about overeating while they're running around looking after fat, idle men all day. Clive, who washed up a record after an adventure at bath time?
I'm trying to focus in on the clue word there. Oh, Richard Ingram knows it. So somebody does the Guinness World Record of washing up?
Well, it's sort of on those lines, but I'll pass it to Francis Ween.
It's an American who crossed the Atlantic in a bathtub, five foot long.
Absolutely right.
And has flown back first class saying he never wants to do it again, but why he ever wanted to do it in the first place.
I thought it was Salman Rushdie who couldn't go across on an aeroplane.
Give him a bonus for that.
This is the American sailor. Quite right, Francis. This is the American sailor who took 104 days to cross the Atlantic in a 5'4" bathtub. He would have arrived sooner, but he had to keep getting out to answer the phone. Hugo Wilhén's record breaker was half an inch shorter than the previous holder's. That's what you get for sitting in a bathtub for 3 months. Adulation. The 61-year-old retired airline pilot claimed at one point an imminent whale attack had him reaching for his emergency flares. So as well as being mad, he's also hugely unfashionable. Well, Wilhelm believes he will try and beat his own record in a smaller bathtub, but during that voyage he will sit at the opposite end from the taps. And we've come, remarkably, to the end of yet another round. And the scores are Clive and Germaine, 7, but Richard and Francis, 12. Before we start the final round, this review of a WI meeting was spotted in the Isle of Wight County Press.
Mrs. Marjorie Glanville, President, welcomed members and visitors. An illustrated talk on National Trust houses and gardens in the south and on the island was given by Miss C. Lipscomb and Mrs. M. Parsley. Mrs. Dorothy Green thanked them. A competition for an ugly object was won by Mrs. Marjorie Payne.
Thank you to Brian Butler of Newport on the Isle of Wight for sending us that. Richard, will you listen to this? That was 633 Squadron by the Ron Goodwin Orchestra. And your question is, Richard, what was fished up for brushing up after going down?
This is a very old...
Get one for me, Johnny. I wish I was going up there with you. Damn this gammy leg.
Barry, they're 5 points ahead and you...
I thought it would make a nice chain.
I knew this all along. It's about this aeroplane that was in the war. It's been brought up from the bottom of the sea.
And Salman Rushdie was on it.
Salman Rushdie was on it, and a huge consignment of condoms, I understand.
This concerns an RAF bomber that ditched off Malta in 1942. While the crew escaped, several of their belongings have only just been recovered. Squadron leader Ernest Moody was identified from his boot polish brush, which he probably used to shine his Wellingtons. Alongside the brush was a ticket for his shoe repairs. The vendors say they'll be ready next Thursday. Francis, who is amused, literally, by a royal connection?
Fergie says that she feels a certain kinship with Queen Victoria, and she gets messages, rather like old Doris Stokes, who we've got on our side here tonight. Queen Victoria beams down these messages, saying, marry a foreigner. Obviously, it got garbled somewhere along the line. She thought that Prince Andrew was sort of half German, so he'd do, so she married him.
She had this feeling welling up inside her when she was eating a bratwurst.
That is true. It's all about the Duchess of York and her book, Travels with Queen Victoria. Fergie says she shares a psychic affinity with Queen Victoria in that they both suffer headaches, although they never seem to have topped Fergie much in the past. And as Clive so brilliantly said, they both shared a fondness for bratwurst, a portion of German sausage. What's more, everywhere Fergie went for her book research, she found Queen Victoria had amazingly been there also. Places like Windsor Castle, Buckingham, Stringfellows, and the First National Bank of Texas. Now, we're back on song, Germaine. Whose brass topped the Charitable League? Whose brass topped Charitable League?
There'll be a northerner involved in this, aren't
there? Right. Well, there's money. That sort of
a joke. A northerner obviously gives... The northerners give more money to
that's
the
right.
charity
He's
than
got
southerners.
It. Yeah.
Is that all?
It's more or less it.
I'm just guessing. I don't know the guy.
Suggest a place where they might be in the north.
From your accent, Godalming, I think.
Yes.
Yorkshire, traditionally a mean county, but apparently they give more money to charity than anywhere else.
It'd be brilliant. Yes, you've answered it perfectly.
Yes.
This is the survey which reveals that the inhabitants of Yorkshire give more to good causes than in any other part of Britain. So it's goodbye to the traditional dour opinionated Yorkshireman and hello to the new generous dour opinionated Yorkshireman. Clive, who will perform a song for the road after being on a rocky mountain high? Who will perform a song for the road after being on a rocky mountain high?
I think you had it right the first time when you were slurring on the song like that.
Yeah,
and the Rocky
right.
Mountain High is one of the few records that I happen to know was made famous by John Denver.
Quite.
And he was done for something like drunk driving in America, probably. And the very rigorous punishment he's been given, he's got to go and sing at a concert.
That's right. You're absolutely right. You get your 4 months of that. This is singer John Denver, coincidentally named after the American town John, who has been sentenced to give a concert after pleading guilty to a drink-driving charge, which prompts the question, what crime did the audience commit? Before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the team have brought along. Richard, have you got a cutting for us?
A little political item, Murray, from Sussex.
Oh.
It says, angry Alan Pitches, 52, sent a letter protesting about a tax increase to the House of Commons, addressed to a honest MP. It was returned with a note saying, no such member.
Francis.
This is from the Malden and Burnham Standard, a local paper in Essex, whose slogan is proud to be at the heart of local life. It's a story about someone who has a grudge against a golf club and who's caused £20,000 worth of damage to the golf course. Mr. Packer said there was 24-hour security at the complex, but that would be increased if needed.
Germaine.
Well, I read a paper that's a fairly joke-free zone normally, and I'm not sure if this was serious or not. It's in an article about gardening. It's about a particular gardener who corroborates the link between gardening and sex. Both processes for me have to be personal and private. I need to concentrate, tune in. She likes to get her hands dirty. Wearing rubber gloves would be like using a condom. I need the physical contact. Substances have to mix. Energies exchange to procreate. I've been given a thing to kneel on, But I prefer to squat. Perhaps that's just an upright version of me lying on my back.
Oh, dear. Oh. Quick, nurse, the screens. I'd like to thank Germaine for that. It's cleared my sinuses. Clive, what have you brought?
Well, I've got rather a long one, actually, and oh, it's... It comes from George Keeling in Derbyshire, from the Aberdeen Press and Journal, that in fact it relays what a report which was in El Universal, which is a Venezuelan paper, and it reports on news in England, and this is how it appeared over there. This is how we appear to others. Crisis in England, guard changed at Buckingham Palace. Elizabeth Glamis Windsor, alias Bowes Lyon, Queen Mother of Elizabeth II, Queen of England, was taken ill with a mystery throat sickness during a visit to Balmoral, a castle in the mountainous interior of a northern province. Elizabeth Glamis Windsor was hospitalised at Aberdeen, a frontier oil town on the east coast, where there is a royalist hospital. As surgeons battled day and night to save the mother of the Queen, sources in London confirmed that troops commanded by Charles, Prince of Wales, the estranged husband of Lady Princess Diana, had been forced to withdraw from the capital and been replaced at Buckingham Palace by troops loyal to Queen England and her husband, known as the Duke. A spokesman for the English Tourist Board said it will be safe to visit Buckingham Palace this summer, as it is most unlikely that fighting will break out between army units commanded by the Prince and the remainder of the military.
Well, you deserved to win with that, but unfortunately you didn't. Clive and Germaine have scored a well-earned 10, but Richard and Francis have swept the board. I said he was on a roll, and certainly he was. Richard and Francis, 14, this week's winners. Well done. Before we leave you, here's a cutting from an in-store magazine issued by Spar Supermarkets and sent in by Rosemary Smith of Plymouth.
At a store in Bristol, an assistant didn't know which product should be rung on which button. Each time she was unsure, she'd hold the product in the air and call across the shop floor to the supervisor. There were no problems until a gentleman purchased a packet of mates. The packet was held in the air and the call went out, "What do these go on?" The reply was unprintable.
That ends it all. Goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Richard Ingrams, Clive Anderson, Francis Wheen and Germaine Greer. The chairman was Barry Took and the cuttings were read by me, Katrina Young. The programme was written by Ian Pattinson and Robert Fraser-Steele. The producer was John Naismith.